Yes.
Good evening. Good evening and welcome to this meeting of Stafford Borough Council's Planning Committee. My name is Brian Cross and I'm the committee chairman. Just a couple of points before we start. We've got a mobile phone, can you please put it on silent mode? As there's no members of the public, I won't ask them to return to a committee. On my right, I have officers from the Planning Department, and on my left, I've got officers from the Law and Administration Department. Officers from the Planning Department will present each application separately as it appears on the agenda. Members of the public who have indicated to speak will be given 3 minutes. There is a table provided in the centre of the room, and I'll indicate when you have 1 minute left to sum up. Ward members are entitled to speak for 5 minutes. An audio recording is being taken of this meeting, which will be published on the Council's website. Members of the committee are reminded they do not enjoy any immunity enjoyed by their colleagues in Parliament. Members may only deal with the planning applications before them in accordance with the National Planning Policy Framework and the local plan, together with any relevant planning matters.
Now we can
move on to the agenda. Before I do, members, I'd like you to introduce you to our planning officer, Vanessa, who is one of our new planning officers. Committee, Vanessa.
Have you got a surname, Vanessa?
Blake.
We won't remember it,
but I'm Item 1, minutes.
Yes, Chairman, approval of the minutes from the 21st of July and the 1st of September, as published on the website.
Thank you. They accepted, members?
Yeah.
Thank you. Apologies.
Chairman, apologies from Councillor Pardesi, who is substituted tonight by Councillor Godfrey.
Thank you. Declaration of members' interests or lobbying. Councillor Phillips?
Thank you, Chairman. I'm going to be speaking as a ward councillor, but I won't be taking part in the discussion and vote.
Right, thank you for that. Councillor Edgeworth? You've been lobbied. Right. Item 4, delegated applications.
Thank you, Chairman. As to be published on the Council's website.
Thank you. Item 5, if you turn to page 4.
Your agenda.
Application 20-3340-FUL, Webbs Yard, Tilcon Avenue, Bazwich, Stafford SD18OYJ. Proposal is erection of plant and machinery, retrospectively, comprising one sand and one cement silo, one measuring 14 metres in height, with the other being 13 metres, with a 2.5 metre diameter, together with a sand hopper, 8 metres in height, with connected closed conveyor belt and pit. And I'll give way to our planning officer, who will do the presentation.
Thank you, Chair. As you've heard, this application is retrospective planning permission for the retention of the external plant and machinery, comprising two silos and a sand hopper, with connected closed conveyor belt and pit. The application site is a manufacturing facility producing concrete flooring. The location plan shows the extent of the site outlined in red to the south of the existing industrial units. An aerial view of the site is shown. The site is within the Tilcon Avenue Industrial Estate in Bazwich. The industrial estate is a historical concrete works and a designated protected employment area. The industrial estate is bound by the West Coast Main Line to the south, located now, and the Staffordshire and Worcestershire Canal to the north and west, and Bazwich Main to the east. There are residential areas to the south, beyond the railway line, and to the east, past Bazwich Lane. The surrounding northern area is characterised by open land and the River Sow and Penk. The photo plan shows the location of the following photos. Image 1 shows the plant subject to this application. Image 2 is looking in a western direction to the access of the site on Tilcon Avenue. Image 3 is looking in a southwestern direction from Tilcott Avenue. Note the neighbouring concrete works here. Image 4 is looking to the south from Tilcott Avenue again and shows the neighbouring concrete works. Image 5 is looking southwest from Tilcott Avenue. The silos subject to this application are just visible above the roof lines. Image 6 is looking east along Tilcott Avenue towards Passage Lane. Image 7 shows the junction of Tilcott Avenue and Basich Lane. Image 8 is looking in a southwestern direction from the canal bridge on Basich Lane. Image 9 is looking in a southeast direction from the junction of the public footpath and canal towpath. The silo subject to application are visible here. Image 10 is from the towpath looking northeast, adjacent to the railway line. The silos are visible again here. Image 11 is looking in the western direction from the railway bridge on Basich Lane. Image 12 is looking northwest from Donter Way. Image 13 is looking north from Donter Way. Plan 1 shows the location of the external plant in the context of the existing site and industrial estate. Here. And plan 2 shows the elevation drawing of the plant. The site is located within a designated protected employment area, which is an established industrial estate, and as such, the proposed use is considered to be acceptable in this location. The principle of development is considered to be acceptable. The appearance of the plant, as demonstrated in the photo, is highly functional. However, due to its siting to the rear of the existing unit, it's largely screened from public view. We've only the silos visible above the roof lines of the units. During spring and summer, additional screening is provided by boundary vegetation when only glimpse views of silos are visible from the canal towpath and Donter Way to the south. The layout and design is considered to be acceptable given the site's context. With regards to amenity, the environmental health team are satisfied that the scheme, subject to conditions, would not result in significant detrimental impacts upon residential amenity with regards to noise, air pollution, dust or lighting. During the determination of this application, the applicant provided further information to resolve the environmental health team's initial comments and also the external lighting to ensure that there was no light spill towards neighbouring dwellings. The scheme is considered to be acceptable with regards to amenity. The scheme is also considered to be acceptable with regards to access, parking and highway safety. The Highways Authority advised that the resultant small increase in HGV movements is not expected to have a severe impact upon the industrial estate or the surrounding highway network and have raised no objections or concerns. As mentioned previously, the industrial estate is bound by the canal, which is a designated conservation area. The Council's Conservation Officer has advised that although the plant is tall and of a functional appearance, it is largely screened from the conservation area by existing boundary vegetation and buildings within the industrial estate. The proposal is not considered to cause harm to the conservation area. The proposal is also not considered to impact upon the integrity of the Canich Hay stack, nor have detrimental impacts upon biodiversity. The scheme is considered to be acceptable with regards to drainage and flooding too. Whilst not a planning matter, it is noted that the required environmental health permits have been secured during the determination of the application. In conclusion, the proposal is considered to adhere to the requirements of the development plan and national policy and is recommended for approval subject to the conditions set out in the report. Thank you.
Thank you, Vanessa. I've got no objective list with. I have a supporter who has put in a written report, and I'll ask our legal officer to read it.
This is from Janet Hodgson, and she writes that, thank you for allowing me to put my points to the committee by way of this note. I am unable to attend due to my underlying health condition in the current COVID situation. We ask you to support the officer's recommendation upon this application and wish to make the following short points. Number one, The owner and operator of the site has engaged fully with your offices in planning and environmental health to provide them with a full suite of documents, including noise reports. The result of the detailed reports are that there is no threat to the immunity of the residential properties that lie beyond the mainline railway to the north. Number two, the site in question lies within an established operating industrial estate where there are a full variety of employment uses being carried out, including an existing concrete batching plant. The plant and machinery that are proposed in this application are therefore located in the most appropriate location for this type of activity. Number three, premises are believed to have been vacant for several years before my client took them over and he relocated from elsewhere in the borough. The business employs 13 people and is an important and established local employer. There is no planning issue over the use of the existing buildings for the current use. The application relates solely to the external plant. Number four, the site owner and operator has closely engaged with environmental services and has obtained the necessary environmental license to operate the facility. The license reference is CEN/FB/5 and was issued on the 20th of April 2021 by Council. Number 5. There are no objections from any of the statutory consultees in terms of any highways impact on the canal conservation area or from environmental health. Number 6. Prior to the submission of this application, a previous certificate application was made to establish if the proposed plant did indeed require permission. Due to the unfortunate circumstances surrounding COVID, this application did not progress speedily due to a difference of professional opinion about the interpretations of a new/replacement plant set out in the GDPO. It was necessary for the business to erect the plant before a second express planning application could be submitted and determined. The owner and operator have at all times been in discussion with the planning and environmental departments to ensure all the information was available to them throughout the process. Number 7. It is considered that the application is fully in line with both national and local planning policy as set out in planning officer's report, and members are respectfully requested to approve the development with the planning conditions that are set out in the report, which will regulate the hours of operation of the plant and the noise limitations that it must meet. The operator is fully aware of the conditions.
Thank you. Now the ward councillor, Marnie, would you like to take the seat in the centre? Remind you have 5 minutes from when you start. If you haven't finished, I'll remind you when you've got 1 minute to go.
Thank you, Chairman, officers, committee members and members of the public. As one of the Bassage Ward councillors and having been contacted by several residents, I called in this application for the reasons set out in the report. Constructing, opening and operating facility without planning permission and the relevant operating licences, nuisance to local residents caused by lighting, noise, dust and the increase in heavy goods traffic. This retrospective application has caused monumental amounts of stress and impacted greatly on the mental health of some neighbouring residents. Whilst I appreciate it's a brownfield site, the way this company have built this facility during a pandemic, at night and on a weekend, with no planning application in place, is disgraceful and an insult to this authority and the officers who worked so hard to ensure these applications not only fall within the law, but mitigate any damage to the lives of locals. And in this instance, with the Fraser Beaton deciding the layout of the site, the knock-on effects could not be considered or mitigated. Had they worked with the relevant officers, the building would undoubtedly have been erected facing the opposite direction, operating licences sought, and we wouldn't be here now, and my residents would have been fully supportive. The majority of responses objecting to the application are based on the impact of the noise that this site produces. It's evident from this that there is significant noise nuisance being experienced by adjacent residential occupiers and further afield as a result of the development. The noise is so extreme that one resident has had to secure a bank loan to allow double glazed windows to be fitted in their house. And the noise is still extreme and impacting on the health of the family. The family I refer to were working from home during the pandemic and have lived in the property for many, many years. Upon visiting the site, it's evident that neighbouring businesses have not heard any difference in noise levels, but on the residential side of the site, sound is a huge problem. According to records being kept by residents, the noise began after the site was operational, and the applicant is having multiple deliveries with the sounds of reversing lorries and forklifts beginning at 7 a.m. on average and as late as 9 p.m. at night. They're also subjected to extremely bright lights which were switched on 24/7. Had this gone through the correct channels, we wouldn't have the issue of lights on during the winter or the problematic plant operations. I've contacted Environmental Health along with residents on a number of occasions regarding both issues. Trees full of leaves hide during the summer what winter months cannot. We've seen increased lorry traffic on the highly unsuitable narrow area of Bassich Lane due to the failure of correct sat-nav guidance, and in the area in general, concrete dust and serious light pollution. If committee feel that there is no option but to approve this application, I would request more conditions be put in place, and these are all to be found in the Environmental Health Officer's comments dated the 3rd of December 2020 and are as follows. Ensuring forklift trucks are fitted with broadband reversing alarms which are quieter and have less acoustic character, or only operate when other personnel are not present, negating the need for reversing alarms. The external surfaces over which forklift trucks and similar operate should be kept in good condition to minimise impact and vibration noise. Provide additional barriers between the yard and noise-sensitive properties on Dancer Way, and these could be located along the southern boundary of the site on top of the existing walls. Where high-level floodlights and high-intensity lighting is provided outside the confines of a building, they should be directed downwards, such that the direct light does not shine into adjacent residences and public spaces. I'd also include, and should be restricted so as not to be on all night, and would ask if the light intensity should also be lowered. Deliveries of bulk materials should only take place during daytime and not before the conditioned start or finish time. This is a real issue. The subfloor loading hopper should only operate and not before the conditioned hours of operation, and should only operate for the minimum of time.
1 minute to build.
Required during delivery. The subfloor loading hopper should be enclosed on three sides with a roof to contain noise dust during operation, and the delivery vehicle should remain in situ to provide a barrier to the open side. Silos should be filled only during the daytime with conditioned hours of operation. Acoustic enclosures should be fitted to the filters on top of the silos. And where it states 8 a.m, I would ask the committee to say not before to prevent the early deliveries that we are currently seeing. I finish by saying that this applicant has already shown little regard for the planning process and the need for legal operating licences. And if this application is permitted and not subjected to further conditions, I fear for the mental welfare of some of the residents who have opposed this. Thank you very much, Chairman and Committee.
Thank you. Councillor Edgeley. Yeah.
Thank you. I've got to say, actually, I think Councillor Phillips has said everything that needs to be said, so I'm not going to embellish on that, apart from agreeing with it about the conditions. This has caused a major problem within the area, and this noise that is generated from this industrial site has caused problems. I mean, I've been speaking to residents only today, and they said, you know, you can hear it, but they do get the noise from the railway as well. So, you know, balancing it out. But this noise situation is the main problem. But I'd like to think that, all right, yesterday, sitting on the Dancer Way, that you couldn't see the silos, but in the winter, yes, they will. So I'd like to think that we do put some sort of barrier up so it's not being viewed by the public from Dancer Way and Cypress Way. Apart from that, Chairman, I'd like to listen to what the other committee members have got to say, and I'll sit back and just listen to what.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, that's one of your questions. It is in the report that Council Environmental Health Officer advised that the scheme is acceptable with regards to noise.
Well,
you know, it's.
Chairman, can I just come back there? Yeah, but all right, these people don't have to live with it, do they?
This is true. Anyone else wish to speak? Councillor Hodgson. Just speak direct into the mic.
I know, I'm trying to switch this. I do know somebody that lives near here, and I haven't been lobbied at all about it, but there was mention of that it was saved from flooding. And actually, since they've built on the Tixall Road, the actual level of the flooding is raised quite significantly, and they're quite concerned about where they are, and that isn't very far from this industrial site. And they previously had to tolerate the firework factory explosion as well. And I think that they feel, well, you know, around there, and other people that live around there as well, they feel it was quite a nice rural idyll, and it isn't now. It's sort of, you know, it's overlooked. There's more flooding, you know, they've really got concerns, actually. I think, you know, especially with noise, you know, noise pollution and concrete dust, you know, it's not fair, is it?
Well, again, I can only call what our environmental officers say. Yeah. Councillor Cooper.
Yeah, just to clarify, a couple of points. The statement from the developer said they were cooperating fully and yet didn't apply for planning application, so I'm not quite sure how that works. The other part that I'm curious about is the fact that there's a noise survey being provided by the operator. It sounds a bit like papers and gamekeepers to me. Should it not be an independent noise survey? Was there an independent noise survey as well, or is it only that what the operators provided?
Planning officers
And finally, just some clarification on the fact that the comment operating licences haven't been applied for. I don't know if that's a planning consideration or not, but what these licences are.
It's not, but in the report it does say they have applied for them and received them.
What are those licences, do you know? What do they call them?
I don't know.
It's not a planning matter, so we
don't
know. I can clarify that for you if you want, Chair.
There's a point of clarification, yes.
The operating licences were needed by the contractor because of it being environmental health, because of the substances that they're actually using. So in order to actually build the site, they would have to have worked with environmental health in order to ensure that it was a site that was safe for operations. Which meant that they would have worked with the planning department to ensure that things were put into place that were going to ensure that the public were going to be safe and it was going to mitigate noise, etc., etc. Some of this has been done after the fact and not in the way that they would have ideally have liked it to have been done due to it being too late because it had already been built. So it was operating for some time before this licence was applied for. Thank you, Chair.
But they've now got the licences to operate.
They have, but they had to make substantial changes in order to be able to gain those licences.
But they've now got the licences.
They have to.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to speak? Councillor Peter Jones.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm always nervous when it's a retrospective application because the thing was built, and if we decide to go against approving the application, it will go to appeal. And the appeal would say, well, it's already built. You want to knock it down, they might knock it down. So we're in a bit of a flat stick. So when somebody does it deliberately not to apply for planning permission and then build something, it makes me uncomfortable because it puts us in a position where we may want to follow what Councillor Phillips is saying, not to approve it, but could we do? Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Offrey.
Thank you, Chairman. It is unfortunate to see the list of the planning application people in the first place. Having said that, this is a designated industrial area, it's an industrial building. It does seem to fit all the criteria. It is annoying, as I've said, but not being there, there is a planning application. I'm afraid I can't really see anything wrong with this, Chairman.
Are you proposing acceptance?
I propose acceptance.
Thank you, Mark. Is that seconded? Thank you. Anyone else wish to? Oh, Jack.
Can we have a look at the photographs, especially the ones taken from the house 13 and 12? Yeah. You don't see much of it. That's from the housing step.
Yeah.
You don't see much of it. They can just go back to show the silos alongside the concrete works. Now, these silos are the part, are they part of the concrete works?
Yes.
And that structure, the concrete works part, has been there long before these silos were built.
Yeah.
So, historically, the entire industrial estate was a concrete works. Historically, this application solely relates to the plant here, and is in relation to the what was already happening or is happening in the buildings. But this application is just about the plant.
I'm still quite disturbed about it, but the point really is that it's an industrial estate.
Yeah,
and it was used by Webbs and. I mean, I can remember seeing pictures of Webb's vehicles parked on the hill. So, you know, but they were a different sort of mechanical movement there.
Yeah, can I ask you, our officer, do you wish to respond to the comments made by the speakers and the ward council?
Yeah. So with regards to noise affecting the residents, neighbouring residents, additional noise tests were done from Dom to A, and the levels of noise were found to be acceptable within the statutory levels. The applicant provided a verification report following the neighbours' comments and the environmental health team's original comments. And the verification report demonstrated that they were within statutory levels, to which the environmental health team agreed with. The environmental health comments that were provided in December have since been superseded, and that is discussed in paragraph 3.6 of the report. Also, a lot of these suggested conditions wouldn't actually need the tests that you have to apply to planning conditions. So things about forklift lift trucks, they're not development, they're not planning, we couldn't control their use, their alarms or anything like that. With regards to surfacing of the site, that's not subject to this application, it is just this plant. And then delivery times, uses of the buildings, anything regarding that is not subject to this application. We can only look at the plant that is in this picture. With regards to the request for a barrier to screen the view of these silos, said barrier would have to be very tall and might then have further impacts on the appearance of the site. It's not something that we think suitable to request, and it's not something we have requested in this case. With regards to HGVs and traffic, the Highways Authority have said that the scheme is acceptable to them. The site is an established industrial estate, where other traffic is coming and going to the other units anyway, and I'd say it's a protected employment site anyway. It's where we would put this use if we could choose to do so. With regards to flooding, the site previously was fully hard sanding, and this scheme, given it's just a plant, is not considered to impact on flooding or increase it in any way. And the question about noise surveys provided by the applicant. Yes, it's provided by the applicant, but our environmental health team do review it and assess it as us, the council, and they found it to be acceptable. And then if we were to refuse this application, we would then have to take appropriate enforcement action, which we as a council would have to decide what that would be. But hopefully that's answered everything. Yeah, if it was expedient to do so.
Okay. I've still got Councillor Edgeworth, but no one else has raised their hand.
Thank you, Chairman. Can I just go back to what Councillor Kent was saying about and the picture you showed with the trees and everything, and you can't see the silos. Yeah, that looks great. Yeah, I've seen that myself today. Looks fantastic. Trees and everything. But come the winter, that is, and all you can see is the silos. I've been there in the winter and seen the silos. So there's got to be somewhere. We have tall trees, I've got to say. Plant tall trees. There's got to be something we can do to cover those up in the winter. Now, will you clarify for me? I mean, Councillor Phillips has mentioned about lighting, about finishing times, about the noise. Will you clarify for me what conditions we can put on with the things that we've talked about today, please?
Is this in addition to the conditions that are listed on page 13?
Yeah.
As Ross has said, the majority of what Councillor Phillips mentioned are covered by the planning matters, which is just for the location of these silos. And how long have they been there? You said you've seen them in the winter. I thought this is quite recently that
they've been there. They've been there, I would say. Well, over a year, yes. Yeah. I mean, I did get Vanessa to look back in history because I remember sitting in a planning meeting years ago about this site, and it was said that it's an industrial estate, but it's there really for warehousing and things like that, not for like an industrial. But that's going back to the 1980s, so I've got to say things have gone forward and things have changed, so I can understand that. And this is why it's been built, but I'm still, I just worry about the start and finish times. Who's going to make sure that they don't start at 7 o'clock and finish at 9 o'clock?
Condition 3
yeah.
Shall only be operated between the hours of 0800 and 1800 Monday to Friday, 0800 to 1400 on a Saturday only. If they don't comply with that, then it needs reporting to our environmental services, who can then take appropriate action.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman,
with
point.
Yes, please, sir. Going back to Councillor Phillips' concerns, I'll perhaps suggest to members a slight tweaking of condition 3. So it says Sundays, comma, bank, and other public holidays. Because, for instance, Boxing Day is not a bank holiday. So, for members to consider. And in relation to condition 2, I would perhaps suggest that no external lighting should be provided within or on the boundary of the site. It's just slightly more precise.
Mm-hmm. Would someone like to propose those amendments?
So can I just add a query, is that by the lighting?
Yes?
Yes, sorry. Are we talking about additional lighting in the future, or are we talking about the existing lighting, which is providing a nuisance now? So in other words, the lighting that's providing a nuisance now would have to be taken down according to these conditions. Is that what you mean?
So the lighting that's causing a nuisance originally has been dealt with by environmental health, and it's no longer, it's been either changed location or it's been removed. This application is not proposing any lighting, so this would prevent any further lighting going forward.
Thank you.
In addition to that, we could only control any lighting within the red edge for this application.
Yeah. Yes, sorry, of course.
Anyway, the amendments that our planning officer has proposed, are you happy with those, members? Would someone like to propose that we accept those two amendments to the planning planning recommendations?
I'd like to set up propose that we accept those amendments to the wording of those.
Seconded. Councillor McEwen. All those in favour? Right.
Can we do another count? Sorry, we didn't see the hands.
Sorry, all those in favour against? It's,
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Right, we haven't actually done the still got to take the vote on the proposal. So
yeah, but because they've moved an amendment to that motion, we have to do that first.
Yeah. Okay. Right, members, so I've got a proposal that we approve this application subject to the amended conditions that have been proposed. All those in favour of accepting, please show.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Down. Those against? 1. Abstentions? 1. The application is therefore carried as per the officer's recommendation, subject to the amended conditions. Thank you very much for your attendance, members. Oh, we've still got the appeals, haven't we? Turn to the last page, members. Planning appeals 21/337833, delegated refusal, erection of a detached dwelling, downside Garfield Green Lane, and 20/32217/LDC, land south of Shirley Watch London Road, Passageford, lawful development certificate. Commencements of condition 1. There's no other notification on planning appeals. Thank you for your attendance, members. The next meeting will be on the 27th of October. There is no meeting on the 6th.
Just ask clarification of all the dates. Is it now following what's in the...
It's now, apart from cancelling the 6th of October, it's as per published in the diary.
Thank you.
As we've had a cancellation from the last 3 planning meetings have been considering one application.
It's because
when they were drawing up for the meeting, there's maybe 3 or 4 applications. But when the decision is being given to the ward councillors, they are withdrawing the application. And that has happened at the last 2 meetings.
So it could well be that the October 27th will only have one.
The one I'm aware of at the moment is one that was deferred, the ones out at College, Dixon, that area.
Mr. Chairman, we are looking at potentially 5 at this point in time.
Right.
Potentially 5, so it could be a long meeting on the 27th.
These are planned meetings, so for example, there will probably be no cancel.
Yes. Okay, members.
Thanks very much indeed.